Let us look up to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us into your holy presence on the last evening of the year 2016. Father, you have been very kind and gracious towards your people in saving them out of darkness into your marvelous light. And Father, we thank you for your great blessings that you poured down upon us in the year 2016. And Lord, like the psalmist, we acknowledge that we have been blessed in a most marvelous way. Like the psalmist, we would say, many, O Lord, are thy wonderful thoughts which are to us word. Yes, Lord, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto you if we would speak and declare of them. And Father, this evening, we pray that you will cleanse us of all our sins and our iniquities, because we realize that we have not been thankful enough to you. And Lord, we have not expressed our gratitude in the way that is pleasing to you. And Father, we pray that you will forgive us of all our sins and our iniquities. And O Lord God, as we look forward to the year 2017, we pray, O Lord God, that we may all trust in you to do a greater work for you than we did in the year 2016. O Lord God, we know that we cannot move forward except we be filled with your mighty Holy Spirit. And how can we be filled with your Holy Spirit if we are not clean vessels? And therefore, O Lord, this evening, once again, we plead that you will cleanse us and make us pure before you, even by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, O Lord God, that all of us here may be willing to dedicate ourselves to you if we have not done so already. And if we have dedicated ourselves to you in time past, this evening, O Lord, we pray that we may be willing to rededicate ourselves to you and be willing to present ourselves as living sacrifices for you to make use of, and be ready to say, here am I, send me. And our Father, we pray this evening that you will be very gracious to all your people here. And Lord, we pray for all the families that are represented here. We pray that your name may be glorified to every of the families. And Father, we pray for those who are away from us because of travel, because of call of duties. We pray that you will be very gracious to all of them wherever they may be. We pray that all of them may remember you, and all of them, O Lord God, may this evening reflect on your goodness upon them and be willing to be challenged and to be willing to accept the challenge to serve you even better for in the year 2017. And Father, we pray that you will be with this church. We thank you for raising up the witness here in Gladesville. We pray that you will be very gracious to continue to give the increase. And we look forward to the year 2017, and we know that you will surely give the increase if we would walk before you with obedience to your word. And now, Lord, we pray that you will draw us closer unto yourself. We pray that you will enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And after the message is spoken this evening, when we have the opportunity to give thanks unto you, Lord, we pray that you will give us the word to speak for you, to glorify your holy name. So, Lord, we pray that you will be with us in a very special way as we look up to you. Bless us, O Lord God, so that at the conclusion of this worship service, all of us may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. So, Lord, bless us now as we open the sacred pages and look into your word and be blessed by your word. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. This is the last night of the year 2016. How fast time flies. And I remember just standing here at the beginning of the year, warning everyone and warning myself that time will pass very, very quickly. And indeed, time has passed very, very quickly. And before we know it, we have already come to the end of the year 2016. What is there ahead for us in 2017? Friends, let's look ahead as a time of great opportunities for us to serve Him as we wait for His soon return. And so this evening, I want to urge all of us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, to wake up so that we will be able to serve Him better in the year 2017. So my topic this evening is Christians, wake up. And I speak from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Now, do we find it hard to wake up in the morning? I must confess that many a time I find it hard to wake up in the morning, particularly in winter, when the bed feels so nice, so cozy, and so warm. And it is so nice to be able to sleep a few minutes more. And as it were, I almost have to bargain with the clock and say, let me sleep a few more minutes. It's so comfortable to be in bed. Because to wake up means to wake up to another day of work and possibly to another day of busyness. So sometimes what I would do is I would turn my body into another position and I go into another sleep cycle. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? I guess many of us do that. Now, I have a relative who finds it very hard to wake up in the morning. It's not that she's lazy. She's actually very, very hardworking. And when she works, she really works. But she finds it so very hard to wake up in the morning. And you guess how many alarms she has to set in the morning to wake herself up? I think about 4 or 5. Yes, but 4 or 5. She won't wake up the first time the alarm goes. It could be one device, and then there's another device that she's set to go off, and she doesn't wake up until the 4th or the 5th alarm goes off, because she's very reluctant to wake up from her sleep. My dear friends, but she has to wake up, and all of us have to wake up in the morning, because night comes to an end, and the day is at hand. So we must wake up. Spiritually, I dare say that we believers are, or many of us believers are deep in slumber or half asleep. We have to admit that we are oblivious, or we may choose to be oblivious that the night is far spent. In other words, night is almost gone, far spent, and the day is at hand. As the word of God says in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, if you look at the verse, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Night is almost gone. Daylight is almost here. But we continue to sleep. But my dear friends, we must wake up. Yes, we must wake up. Because the daylight is here. We must wake up. And why must we wake up? We look at verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The reason why we must wake up is obvious. Because it is high time for us to wake up. We must know the time. We must know the season. Yes, knowing the time. We must know the time and we must know the season. And you look at the age and the season that we are living in right now. Aren't we living in perilous times? My dear friends, we are. Yes, we are definitely living in an age in which the world is, or the whole world is waging a global war against terrorism. And the war against terrorism was unofficially announced, or you might say officially announced, on September 11 in the year 2001, when a terrorist piloted two commercial jet planes and crashed them into the Twin Towers of the Trade Center in New York, killing something like 3,000 people. And I guess many people were injured. And that was in the year 2001. And then 2002, you remember, a year after that, there was this Bali bombing that took place in Indonesia. 202 people died, and many were injured. And of the 202 people who died, 88 of them were Aussies. And then in the year 2005, you remember the bombing that took place in London. Yes,
which killed 52 people and many others were injured. Now then, in the years between 2005 to 2015, there were many bombings. And then in the year 2015, just 1.5 years ago, or slightly more than a year ago, you remember there was the attack in Paris. Yes, terrorists attacked a theater and attacked other places at the same time. And they killed something like 130 people with their automatic rifles. And then many people were injured also. Then in the same year, there was this attack in the Brussels airport. About 35 people were killed and others were injured. And then this year, in July, in the year 2016, in the city of Nice, in France, there was this truck driver who drove a cargo truck, and that cargo truck plunged into the people who were watching a street parade. And the truck killed something like 86 people, and other people were injured. And then just a few weeks ago, in Berlin, in Germany, yes, there was this truck driver who drove a truck that plowed into a crowd at a Christmas market, killing 12 people and injuring others. So you see, today we know that terrorists are poised to attack. Yes, they are ever ready to attack. Now, is there no possibility that one day they will be able to get hold of weapons of mass destruction? Is it not possible that they will be able to get hold of a nuclear bomb or get hold of some chemical weapons that can kill lots of people at one time? My dear friends, should such a weapon ever get into the hands of terrorists, the world will surely be put into a nightmare. Yes. Then you look at a rogue country like North Korea, which possesses nuclear weapons. Nobody can stop North Korea from releasing a nuclear bomb. Did you realize that if it chooses to do so, even their good friend China is not able to stop them from doing so? Then you think of the fundamental Islamists of Islam, of Iran. It is a matter of time that they will develop a nuclear bomb. Yes, although right now there is this peace between America and Iran, and then there was this agreement made that the Iranians will stop possessing the nuclear bomb. Yes, but friends, nothing is going to stop them. And if the Israelis or the Americans were to try to stop them by bombing the nuclear facilities for developing these nuclear weapons, they will definitely start a regional war there. And this war for sure will escalate into a global war. Then you look at the ever-present tension that is existing in the Middle East between the Arab countries and Israel. Every now and then, fightings flare up between the Palestinians and the Israelis. The Palestinians don't recognize the nation of Israel. Their whole purpose is to drive the Israelis into the sea. Yes, and then they are very, very provocative. Now and then they will fire rockets into Israel. And although the rockets are not accurate, but they are very, very destructive, and they are increasingly destructive. And I dare say that they will now become even more provocative. You know why? Because America, just before Obama leaves office, has withdrawn their support for Israel in their occupation of the land they occupied since 1967. Yes, but friends, the Jews are not going to give up the land. Yes, they believe that this land belongs to them for the last 3,000 years, and they believe that God gave them the land, and it is true, God gave them the land. My dear friends, this is the region we must watch. The region of the Middle East. Yes, the next world war will definitely start here in the Middle East. And the consequence of the war will be absolutely catastrophic. In Second Peter chapter 3, verse 10, I read for you. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. I have no doubt that this verse tells us that the final war is going to be fought with nuclear weapons. And the Lord will come, my dear friends, to fight the final battle on this earth, even the battle of Armageddon. And until he comes, my dear friends, there is not going to be peace on this earth. Friends, we must realize that we are living in such a time. We must not be fast asleep and be so oblivious of the time and the season that we are living in. The signs are all there with regards to the soon return of the Lord. Soon, the day of the Lord will be here. The question is, are you prepared for that day, for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, how can we be prepared if we are fast asleep? We must wake up. It is high time for us to wake up, my dear friends. We are living in such a time, even a time that is very perilous. Next, we must wake up because now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Isn't it true? Yes, as each year passes, we are one year nearer the day of our salvation. So the skeptics say, it's been 2,000 years since the Apostle Peter prophesied the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord has not returned yet. Jesus has not returned yet. Surely this prophecy cannot be true. This prophecy is just a myth, a fairy tale. But we believers are very insistent. We say, Jesus is returning because his word says so. Yes, it is true, he's returning. And we are very, very insistent that he's going to return. Now, but while we say that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, and his return is soon close, even at the doors. But the truth is, friends, we all act contrary to that belief. Yes, we give lip service to that belief. But in reality, the way we live does not reflect that we expect the Lord to come anytime or soon. Yes, we are fast asleep, many of us. We should wake up, my dear friends. It's time for us to wake up. Now, with the passing of the year 2016, we are definitely 1 year nearer the day of our salvation. 366 days to be precise, because 2016 has been a leap year. The salvation that we talk about here, it's not just salvation from the penalty of sin. It is not just salvation from the power of sin. But friends, we are talking about perfect salvation. The day will come when our salvation will be perfected. We will be perfectly sinless. We will be transformed, my dear friends. And we will put on a body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect. One that is not subject to sickness, one that is not subject to decay, one that does not rot, one body that does not corrupt. Now today we can all buy devices if we want to, as good as new. They are not new, but as good as new at very good prices. But if we were to read the fine print, we might be able to read these words: refurbished, certified by the manufacturer. Have you come across such products? Yes, refurbished, certified by the manufacturer. In other words, the company had manufactured these products, and then they had some defects, and the company took those products back, and then reconditioned them, refurbished them, and they sell these products as new. And they would give the same kind of guarantee as they would give to a good brand new product. Now, friends, let us understand that when we receive this full salvation, we are not a reconditioned product. We are not a refurbished product. We will be completely transformed. We will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 44 says, "So also is the resurrection of the body. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." So the kind of body that we have is a spiritual body, a glorified body. My dear friends, we are nearer that day when we will be receiving this glorified body, like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then there is also the possibility that we will enter into glory before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to say that the day of our death comes earlier than the day the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And surely with the passing of each day, we are nearer the day when we will be called into glory. Yes, it is nearer the day of our death. Now, how long more do you expect to live on this earth? How long more? Now, if you are very young, then perhaps you say, I have another maybe about 60, 70 years more to live on this earth. 80 years maybe. All right. Then if you are you're slightly older, maybe 50 years. And then you are much older, maybe 30 years and so forth. The truth of the matter is this. How many years we have on this earth, no matter how many years we have on this earth, my dear friends, the days that we have remaining are numbered. Did you realize that they are numbered? You must be fast asleep not to realize that your days on this earth are numbered. My dear friends, wake up and realize that our days are numbered. Now let me just give you some simple arithmetic. Now if you have got 60 more years to live, you know how many days you will have on this earth left? Left on this earth? How many days? My dear friends, a very quick calculation, about 22,000 days left. If you can live for another 60 years, that's all, 22,000 days. And then if you have can live for another 50 years, you have maybe about 18 to 19,000 days left. Now if you have 10 years, now that's easy to calculate, right? How many days would you have left on this earth? About 3,650 days, or more than that if you include the leap years. Now then, of course, you have 1 year left to live on this earth. How many days do you have left on this earth? My dear friends, 365. So, and then remember this, our life on this earth can very well be cut short, either by a disease or by an accident. We hear of accidents all the time. We hear of people's life being cut short by diseases. Yes, our life can very well be cut short by diseases and by accidents. So the right thing for us to do is to pray like what the psalmist prays in the front page of the program. All right? What does the psalmist say? All right? Psalm 90, verse 12. What does the psalmist say? Let's read that verse. Yes, you see the clock and then the verse next to the clock. Let's read together. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's the prayer that we have to make. Teach us the number of days. So how do I apply my heart unto wisdom? The right way, first of all, is we better number our days on this earth and realize that we have X number of days left on this earth. You can make an estimate, really, in regards to how many days you may have left on this earth. If everything goes on well, all right? If everything goes on well, maybe X number of days left. You left on this earth, and that is the number of days that you have before you meet your maker. Now the question is, am I ready to meet my maker? Am I ready to meet him? Now let us realize this truth. If you are an unbeliever, the real truth is you are not ready to meet him, because his word tells you very, very clearly that you are condemned already. Condemned already, that's what his word says. So you are not ready to meet him. And the only way for you to be ready to meet him, my dear friends, is to come to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. That is what Jesus came for. My dear friends, he came to die for sinners, to give everlasting life to sinners. Now what you need to do is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent from your sins, receive him as your Lord and Savior. Turn to him, receive him as your Lord and Savior. Receive him into your heart. Let him rule you, your life. The moment you do that, my dear friends, you will be ready to meet him. Yes. And then, what about us believers? The wisest thing for us believers to do is to number the days that we have on this earth to serve him. we have been saved to serve. So the number of days that we have left on this earth to serve Him. The question that we should pose to ourselves should also be this: am I ready to meet Him? When I appear before my Maker, when I appear before my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, am I ready to meet Him? Will I come before Him empty-handed? Or will I come before Him with trophies to present them at His feet? My dear friends, if we have been faithful in serving Him, if we bring trophies before Him, before His feet, we are going to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, the next reason for waking up out of sleep is that we have no right to sleep. Understand this truth, we have no right to sleep. The Lord has given us this command. He says in Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, the context of this verse is this: Jesus was about to be arrested. Yes, He was about to be arrested, and then He brought His disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And then He left some of His disciples further away from after they entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. And then He brought His three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, and John, with Him deeper into the Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane. Then He told them, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And then He went further into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Then He came back. What were the disciples doing? They were all sleeping. Three times the Lord came back. They were sleeping. They were not watching and they were not praying. What was the result? The result was when this man came from the chief priests and from the Jewish leaders to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, all the disciples were not ready for the confrontation. They were not ready for the tribulation. All of them forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. They were so cowardly, they forsook the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were not watching, they were not praying as the Lord wanted them to watch and to pray. Friends, we have no right to sleep. We must be watchful and not fall asleep, because Satan, our adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. His intention is to devour us, to devour our testimony, to destroy our witness. That is his intention. So we have no right to sleep. We are responsible for our spiritual well-being. We are held accountable for our spiritual well-being. Don't forget, as we said, one day we shall all have to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account to Him in regards to what we did for Him while we were on this earth. And let us not think that we are responsible only for ourselves. My dear friends, we are also responsible for the spiritual well-being of others. You remember the parable told by the Lord Jesus Christ, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise virgins, the other 5 were not. The 5 virgins carried with them lamps with oil, plenty of oil in their lamps. The other 5 virgins were foolish. They carried in their lamps all that was not sufficient to keep the lamp going for a long time. And then while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, yes, all these virgins were waiting for the bridegroom to come to celebrate with the bridegroom. And while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come, what happened? All of them slept. I read for you Matthew 25, if you turn to the last page. Yes, Matthew 25. I read for you. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They slumbered and they slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Yes, the virgins that did not have enough oil in their lamps deserve to be shut out from the celebration. That's true. But the point is this, all of them slept. Yes, the virgins with oil in their lamps and the virgins without oil in the lamp. Now, what's the lesson? Of course, the first lesson is that all of us must be prepared. Those virgins shouldn't be so foolish. They should have plenty of oil in the lamp so that there will be enough oil to fuel the lighting of the lamp. Yes, but the other lesson that we shouldn't miss is that that the wise virgins shouldn't have slept. If the wise virgins had not slept, could they not have checked on the checked up with the virgins that had slept and looked into their lamps perhaps and see whether there was enough oil or not in the lamp? If there wasn't enough oil in the lamp, could they not have urged them to go and buy the oil so that there would be sufficient oil to keep the lamp going to wait for the bridegroom to come? Surely they could have done that if they had been awake. But the truth of the matter is that they slept. Friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must stay awake. We have no right to sleep. Others around us are perishing without the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the gospel in our hands. My dear friends, it is our duty to wake them up. It is our duty to share with them the gospel. It is our duty to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, let us wake up. It is high time for us to do so. Now the next reason as to why we must necessarily and very naturally wake up is that we have something wonderful to wake up to. A visitor to a prison was told by the prison warden that the prisoners were very inclined to sleep and to oversleep. They did not want to wake up and would rather sleep the time away. Why should they do that? Why should they wake up? And there was no purpose for their waking up, because there was nothing worthwhile for them to wake up to. What was so worthwhile to wake up to? When they woke up, they would see only the gates of the prison cell and could only see the walls of the prison cell. So there was nothing worthwhile for them to wake up to. But friends, we are different. We believers have something worthwhile for us to wake up to. In Singapore, I know that there are golf enthusiasts who will wake up very, very early in the morning, and they would ensure that they will be at the golf course before the break of dawn to start again. They wake up very, very early because as far as they are concerned, they have something very worthwhile to look forward to. Yes, and that is the pleasure of enjoying the golf. But friends, we have something infinitely more worthwhile than the pleasure of golf, playing golf, to wake up to. The pleasure of this world might be lawful, might be very enjoyable, but friends, it has got no eternal value. Yet there are people who are willing to sacrifice their sleep to wake up very, very early, yes, to enjoy such pleasure. But friends, such pleasure does not have any eternal value. Now, what is the thing that is so worthwhile for us believers to wake up to? What is so worthwhile? The thing that is very, very worthwhile for us to wake up to is that we are able to wake up to a very, very meaningful life. That is why it's so worthwhile for us to wake up. My dear friends, we are able to wake up to a meaningful life. How sad life is if life is very meaningless. How sad life is to a student if he does not know why he's studying. So every day he has to drag his feet to go to school because he doesn't know why he's studying. Or how sad it is for a worker or a working person to go to the office to work but does not know why he has to work. The work is so meaningless. The work is so boring. He literally has to force himself to go to work. But friends, we believers have something very, very meaningful to wake up to. It is a life that is very meaningful, a life in which we are able to enjoy not just anything, a life in which we are able to enjoy God, my dear friends, a life in which we are able to enjoy God. Now listen to what the psalmist says. The psalmist here enjoys God in Psalm 73. Maybe we should look at these two verses. All right, Holy Scriptures, please turn to Holy Scriptures. Turn to the Bible, Psalm 73, and look at verses 25 and 26. Yes,
see how the psalmist enjoys God. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Verse 25. He says this, the psalmist says, "Whom have I in heaven but you, Lord? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." He desired only one thing. He desired God himself. And he says, "Heaven is not heaven, Lord, except you are there." And then in verse 26, he says, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. My flesh fails. I can become weak. I can become sick. I can become old. But God is my strength." You see, I can become weak. I can become old. I can become sick. But God is my strength. And then he says, "My heart faileth." When does our heart fail? When we die, of course. When we die, our heart fails. But he says, "When I die, God, you are my portion forever. You are my possession forever." My dear friends, you see how much this psalmist enjoys God. Yes. And if we are able to enjoy God, that life will be a very meaningful life. And we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ has this wonderful, meaningful life to look forward to every day, to wake up to every day, because we have a very meaningful life to wake up to. And everything that we do, living this meaningful life, has got meaning. Yes, because everything we do, we will be doing for one thing and one thing only, and that is to please God, to glorify His holy name. So friends, we must wake up from our spiritual slumber, and we have got good reasons to wake up from our spiritual slumber. It is high time for us to wake up. And number two, we must wake up because every year that passes by is one year nearer the day of our salvation. And then we have no right to continue to sleep. We must wake up because Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we must be very watchful. And we have no right to sleep because we must be very watchful over our spiritual well-being. And we must also be very concerned about the spiritual well-being of others. So we have no right to sleep. And then we should actually be, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, be very glad to wake up every day because we have a very, very meaningful life to look to wake up to. The next thing is what to do after we wake up. Now in the morning when we wake up, what do? We put off our night clothing. Of course, we put off our pajamas and then we put on our day clothing. Likewise, my dear friends, when we wake up from our sleeper, our spiritual slumber, we put off the works of darkness. Look at verses 12 and 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. What must we put off, my dear friends? We must first of all put off dishonesty and walk honestly. We must put on honesty, in other words. When we speak, let our yes be yes, and let our no be no. And don't say yes when we mean no, and don't say no when we mean yes. And when we give our word, my dear friends, we must honor the keeping of that word. How can people believe the gospel which we declare to be the truth when we are noted for lying? Now, one of the greatest kinds of dishonesty that we must really put off is this thing called hypocrisy. We preach one thing, but we behave opposite to what we preach. We preach love, but we don't show love. We preach holiness, but we behave like people in the world. We preach mercy, but we are very fault-finding and we are very judgmental. My dear friends, we must put off dishonesty. Dishonesty is definitely a work of darkness. And then we must put off rioting. Yes, this refers to drunken, immoral behavior. And we must put off drunkenness. This refers to habitual intoxication with alcohol. Now, I don't believe that in our midst there are professed believers who are guilty of rioting. I think there is nobody here who is guilty of drunken, immoral behavior. But believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are very, very capable of celebrating, but when we celebrate, we can forget God in our celebration. My dear friends, we can be guilty of celebrating in that manner. Yes, that is the thing that is wrong. Yes, for example, when we pass our exams, we celebrate. Or when we are promoted, we celebrate. Or when we have a new home, we celebrate. When a new child arrives, we celebrate. But friends, one problem could be this. We could be having our celebration, but we forget that it is God who gives us those very, very wonderful gifts that we have. It is He who has given us those wonderful gifts. We forget to give thanks unto Him. We forget that promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but it is from the one true living God. Yes, we forget that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. My dear friends, that kind of celebration is wrong. That kind of celebration, my dear friends, is very, very self-centered, because it does not give God the honor and glory due to Him. That kind of work of darkness, my dear friends, must be put off. So when we celebrate, let us remember to give thanks, remember to give honor and praises to the one true living God. And I don't believe that in our midst there are those out there professed believers who are guilty of drunkenness, guilty of habitual intoxication with alcohol. But we could be intoxicated with other things. We could be, for example, intoxicated with the pleasures of the world. Now, friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot be consumed by the pleasures of the world. Now, there is nothing wrong with playing golf, all right? Nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with playing computer games if they are innocent, good computer games. And there is nothing wrong with engaging ourselves in hobbies that are healthy. Many of these are very good recreational activities which are necessary for our physical and for our mental well-being. But friends, there is something seriously wrong with our spiritual life if we are consumed by these things that give us pleasure. We spend hours and hours upon them. At what expense? At the expense of doing our quiet time, at the expense of going to the church prayer meeting, at the expense of doing Bible studies, at the expense of having fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, at the expense of not teaching our family members spiritual things. My dear friends, if we are clothed with this kind of darkness, the darkness of being consumed by the pleasures of the world, we must necessarily cast them off. Then we must put off chambering and wantonness. Now, chambering and wantonness here refer to all kinds of sexual sins. What we do in secret, my dear friends, other people may not know. But friends, whatever we do in secret cannot escape the eyes of the one true living God. His word in Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." All things, without exception, my dear friends, are open to Him. All our secret things included. And the best way of putting off chambering and wantonness is to obey what the Lord says. The Word of God says what? Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't have to test to find out whether the thing is evil or not. If it appears to be evil, abstain. Run away from it as far as possible. My dear friends, that is the greatest safeguard against chambering and against wantonness. The greatest, the best safeguard against all forms of sexual sins. Recognize this truth. Our flesh is weak. Yes, our flesh is weak. Our spirit could be willing, but remember, our flesh is weak. And then we must put off strife and envy. Yes, the Word of God says we must put off strife and envy. Strife and envy are works of darkness. Now, envy and covetousness are related, closely related. Yes, now, if people are covetous, yes, and they want to have things that they do not have, and if their neighbor has, then they become very, very envious of their neighbor. So you see, envy and covetousness are very related. And you know what the Word of God calls covetousness? It calls covetousness idolatry.
So Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 tells us this: covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. To covet something is to have an overpowering desire to have that thing. We must have it. Yes, the desire is so strong that we think about that thing day and night. Then that thing then takes the place of God, because we think of that thing day and night. That is why covetousness is idolatry. It is a terrible sin. And when we are covetous, my dear friends, we envy those who have those things which we covet after, which we do not have. So we envy those people who have them. And so you see, as I said, envy and covetousness are very related. And envy often causes strife, because we are envious of people, the result of which is we engage ourselves in strife with these people. Friends, we must put off this work of darkness, even strife and envy. Then after we put off our night clothing, we must put on our day clothing, right? We are to put on what? We put on the works of darkness, and by the word of God next tells us that we are to put on the armor of light, right? Put on the armor of light. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Now, what is this armor of light? Now, I don't have time to expand on this, but the armor of light essentially is the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and then our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I don't have time to talk about all the members, all the parts of this armor of God, but I'd like us this evening just to focus on the footwear. Our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, a few Sundays ago, I noticed that some of our young ladies in our church came to church not in their heels. As usual, they would come in their heels. But that particular Sunday, they didn't come in heels. They came in shoes that looked like running shoes or walking shoes. So I thought to myself, is this a new fashion? I was seated at the back there, and yes, usually I would see people coming in. My eyes will follow them until they sit down. And so that morning, I look at them and then look at where they were walking and look at their shoes. Yes, not high heel shoes, but walking shoes. I say, is this a new fashion? Maybe it's a new fashion. But I was wrong. You know what? Actually, these girls who came to church that day were very, very prepared for one thing, and that was to go out to do street evangelism. So they needed to walk, and so they came in their walking shoes. How wonderful it is to see them so well prepared for to do something that was very, very good, to spread the gospel by walking the streets of Sydney and handing out tracts to passers-by. My dear friends, that is exactly what we must be doing. Our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Always be ready to share the gospel with people. Now, my dear friends, as we come to the end of the year, let us realize that it is high time for us to wake up from our spiritual slumber. We must wake up. Why? Because it is high time for us to wake up. The signs of the time tell us that our salvation is near, even at the doors. Soon the Lord will return. Are we ready to give an account of ourselves when He returns? Are we ready to meet Him? As I said, if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you are not ready to meet Him, because He has already said, you are condemned already if you do not have the Lord Jesus in your heart. Then we must wake up, because with the passage of 1 year, we are really 1 year nearer the day of our death. So the right thing for us to do is to wake up and pray this prayer: teach us to number our days. And that is exactly what we must be doing. Teach us to number our days, and Lord, help me to apply my heart unto wisdom. And then the next reason as to why we must wake up is that, yes, we have no right to sleep, because our enemy does not sleep. Our enemy, Satan, the adversary, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If we are fast asleep, we will be devoured by him. Our witness will be devoured by him. And we have no right to sleep because, friends, we are responsible for our spiritual well-being. We are also responsible for the spiritual well-being of other people. Yes, it is our duty, our responsibility to share the gospel with them. And then we shouldn't be sleeping because we have something very, very wonderful, meaningful to wake up to every day. And that is a life that is full of meaning. Then, after we have awakened from our sleep, we must put off works of darkness, which include dishonesty, being consumed by the pleasures of the world and by the cares of the world, even though they might be legitimate. And we are to put off all forms of sexual sins, and we are to put off strife and envy. And after we have put off these works of darkness, we must put on the armor of light. The armor of light. And I just touched on one part of the armor of light, namely gospel shoes. We must put on gospel shoes. Our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, being always ready to go out to share the gospel with people. So, my dear friends, as we come to the end of the year, let us realize this. Yes, we have the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, and that now, knowing the time, that is high time for us to wake up. Let us wake up, my dear friends. Be spiritually ready for the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Teach us, O Lord God, that we may be fully awake, so that, Lord, when the day of the Lord comes upon us, we will not be caught unawares. But, Lord, we will be ready for that day. And, Father, perchance there could be people here who do not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray, O Lord, that you will speak to their hearts and cause them to come to believe in you, so that they will be ready to meet you. And, Father, we pray that by your grace, we may all wake up and cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And, Father, we pray that all of us may put on this armor of light, particularly our feet. Lord God, we pray that you will enable us to put on gospel shoes. Help us that we may be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so that, Lord, we may always be ever ready to share the gospel with people. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.